Good morning and welcome to today's Police Fatality Public Fact-Finding Review concerning the death of Ismael Barney Castillo on March 13th, 2024. My name is Ozzie Fumo and I will be presiding over today's proceeding. This review is being held because the Clark County District Attorney's Office has made a preliminary determination that no criminal prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Ismael Castillo is appropriate. Clark County Ordinance Chapter 2.12 requires a public review following such a determination. This is not a trial. The purpose of today's proceedings is to present the public with essential facts surrounding the death of Ismael Castillo. Chief Deputy District Attorney Mark DiGiacomo will present today's fact-finding review on behalf of the District Attorney's Office. He will determine the witness or witnesses to be called. The ordinance does not provide subpoena power on my behalf and does not allow for any other party to call witnesses. Mr. Carl Arnold has been appointed as the ombudsman. He represents both the public and the Castillo family. He will have the opportunity to ask questions of the witness or witnesses. The procedure for questioning witnesses shall be informal with a view to providing the public with relevant information regarding the use of force. The rules of evidence shall not be strictly enforced. Members of the public observing this review may submit proposed written questions on forms located in the back of this room and present it to one of the officers. I will ask the question unless I determine that it is irrelevant, redundant, or an abuse of the review process. At the conclusion of the review, no formal determination regarding the manner or cause of death shall be rendered. I will advise that some of the photos or presentation could be graphic in nature, so viewer discretion is advised. Do either parties have anything else to add?
No, sir.
No.
Okay. If not, Mr. DiGiacomo, please feel free to call your witness.
Thank you. Detective Todd Fasulo. Sir, how are you employed?
I'm a detective with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
Were you the primary detective assigned to the force investigation team investigation of the officer-involved shooting of Ismael Castillo on March 13th of 2024?
Yes, I was.
In that capacity, did you generate a PowerPoint presentation to sort of go through the facts and circumstances that led to the death of Mr. Castillo?
Yes, I did.
And would utilizing that assist you in kind of explaining your investigation, ultimately the facts of this case?
That's correct.
So let's start with the area overview. If you could just describe for us what we're looking at here.
So the officer-involved shooting occurred near the intersection of Cambridge and East Flamingo, more specifically in the westbound travel lanes just east of Cambridge on Flamingo.
And who is the subject officer?
Our subject officer is Sergeant Brett Brosnahan. His date of hire was March 19th of 2009. At the time of the officer-involved shooting, he was 43 years old and assigned to the South Central Area Command. His body-worn camera was activated, and he provided a walkthrough for fit, and he also provided a statement.
Let's talk about Sergeant Brosnahan's weapon.
Sergeant Brosnahan's weapon was a Glock 19, 9mm, and the investigation revealed he fired 6 rounds.
What about the decedent?
Our decedent was identified as Ismael Barney Castillo. His date of birth was September 8th of 94. He was 6'2", 195 pounds, and resided in Las Vegas. The applicable charges, had he had survived, would be attempt murder on a police officer, 2 counts, resisting with a deadly weapon, and robbery with a deadly weapon.
The decedent's weapon?
The decedent was in possession of a 13.5-inch knife.
And was there a civilian victim associated with this?
Yes, the civilian victim was identified as AA.
And was AA interviewed?
Yes, she was. AA stopped at a retail store to purchase groceries, and as AA placed her groceries into her trunk, a male, who was the decedent, approached her and asked for 30 cents. AA declined and hurried to finish loading the groceries so she could leave. As AA entered her vehicle, the decedent opened her door and produced a knife. He held it to her chest and demanded her keys. AA grabbed her purse from the passenger seat and dumped the contents on the ground outside of her vehicle. As the decedent looked for the keys, AA ran from her car and hid behind another vehicle in the parking lot. AA saw the decedent was unable to start her vehicle, and AA contacted 911 and watched the decedent exit her vehicle and then enter the retail store. AA then observed the decedent exit the retail store and walk around the parking lot. AA believed the decedent was looking for her, and AA stated she was in fear for her life as the decedent held the knife close to her chest and believed he intended to hurt her.
Were there witness officers?
There were witness officers. We had Officer Lusong, who deployed his taser. We had Officer Parham, who deployed the low-lethality shotgun. Officer Bachetti, Officer McCallum, Officer Nicholas, Officer Ocampo, and Officer Peterson.
So let's go through the witness officer statements.
So Officer Lusong was assigned to a robbery with a deadly weapon call. Officer Lusong arrived at the 1000 block of East Flamingo Road and observed Sergeant Brazahan armed with his firearm and issuing verbal commands to the decedent. Officer Lusong observed the decedent holding a knife in his right hand. The decedent refused to drop the knife. Officer Lusong observed his field training officer, Nicholas, with her firearm out, so he opted for a low-lethal option and deployed his taser. Officers continued to issue verbal commands for the decedent to drop the knife as he walked onto the westbound travel lanes of East Flamingo Road. The decedent began walking and then ran towards Officer Lusong and Sergeant Brazahan. Officer Lusong fired his taser as Sergeant Brazahan fired his firearm. Officers began life-saving measures on the decedent until medical personnel arrived. And Officer Lusong stated that he felt his life and the life of Sergeant Brazahan were in jeopardy. He stated that deadly force had to be used to stop the decedent.
How about Officer Parham?
Officer Parham was at Convention Center Area Command with her field training officer, Officer Bochetti, when she heard a robbery call. She dispatched herself to the call. Upon arriving, she heard a broadcast for a low-lethality shotgun, so she retrieved it as she exited the vehicle. The decedent appeared angry and did not comply with verbal commands. She observed the decedent charging in the direction of Sergeant Brazahan with a knife. Officer Parham discharged two rounds from the low-lethality shotgun at the decedent. She believed the decedent was going to attack, stab, or hurt Sergeant Brazahan with the knife. Sergeant Brazahan discharged his firearm at the decedent.
Were there other witnesses?
Yes, there were other witnesses. They were identified as MA, JD, JM, MP, EP, and SV.
And let's go through generally what the witnesses' statements were.
So MA was interviewed, and while working security, MA was conducting parking lot patrol. MA received a call stating there was screaming coming from the parking lot, and when MA approached the area, he observed an erratic and paranoid male identified as the decedent exit a vehicle and run into the store. MA learned from a nearby citizen the decedent had just attempted to steal the vehicle he had just exited. MA followed the decedent into the store and heard him screaming, call 911. MA proceeded to the security office and watched the decedent through live surveillance footage. MA observed the decedent remove a kitchen knife from the shelf before leaving the store a moment later. And MA observed the decedent walk toward the middle of the parking lot, then toward a fast food restaurant before he lost sight of him.
What about JD?
JD had exited the retail business and walked into the parking lot. JD heard a woman screaming and saw a woman running from a two-door vehicle, a male the decedent had just entered. JD and other concerned citizens approached the male, who shouted for them to back away. JD watched the decedent exit the vehicle and run into the business, retail business. JD remained outside while the decedent was inside the store. And as the decedent exited the business, JD saw that the decedent was armed with a large kitchen knife. JD followed the decedent toward East Flamingo Road and directed arriving officers towards his location. JD observed officers confront the decedent, and then JD observed officers backing away from the decedent, who still had the knife, and then he heard gunshots.
The autopsy?
An autopsy was conducted by Dr. Nathan Schaller on March 14th of 2024, where he ruled the cause of death multiple gunshot wounds and manner of death homicide.
And were there blood samples that were collected to determine the toxicology of the deceased?
Yes, toxicology results revealed that he had amphetamine, methamphetamine, and Delta 9 THC, which is marijuana, in his system.
Put together sort of a timeline of events?
I did. For the timeline, at 1941 hours, AA phoned 911 to report an attempt carjacking. At 1941:42, the call was updated with the suspect's, the decedent's description, and that the decedent was armed with a knife. At 1943:10, the decedent entered the retail business and was armed with a knife. At 1944, the decedent exited the retail business and was yelling in the parking lot. At 19:47:11, officers arrived in the area, and at 19:47:52, Sergeant Brosnahan arrived. At 19:49:34, shots fired was broadcasted, and at 19:54:09, medical personnel arrived on scene.
Was there body-worn camera video captured by the officers that arrived on scene?
Yes, there was body cam footage.
And let's start with Sergeant Brosnahan's body-worn camera.
Actually, Mr. DiGiacomo, before we proceed, I just want to make the following. The following material is required to be presented and may contain graphic images and language. Viewer discretion is advised as graphic content will be displayed.
Thank you, sir.
This is Sergeant Brosnahan's body-worn camera footage.
826 code red.
Drop the knife! Get on the ground! Drop the knife and get on the ground! Drop the knife and get on the ground now!
Cut him off.
Put the knife down. Put the knife down. Put it down. Put the knife down. Get on the ground and put the knife down.
Low lethal options. 40. I need a low lethal shotgun. I need rounds deployed on him now.
Drop the knife.
Watch crossfire. Utilize cover. Low lethal shotgun. Hit him with the shotgun now.
Drop the knife!
Crossfire, crossfire! A26. Shots fired. Low medical. We're going to be at Flamingo and Cambridge. Where's the knife? Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
Officer Liu Sung also have body worn camera?
Yes, Officer Liu Sung does have body worn camera footage.
The Wolverine freak. We haven't seen him come out to Flamingo yet.
Are there people chasing him?
Couldn't tell. We just saw one subject running.
Citizens reporting.
Oh, right. Okay, there.
Westbound.
There
he is. I think I got him in front of the pond.
Okay, keep going.
Outside.
They're pointing at him right there.
So put your two on. Put your
two on. 226, code red. Copy, car, the channel 826. Target 4001 South Maryland Parkway.
Oh,
right.
My cart. Get out. Let's do something here. Stop.
Gun wall.
Taser deployed.
Shut down traffic. Shut down traffic.
Did you pull a still photograph of Officer Liu Sung's body cam?
Yes, I did. As you can see, the decedent, when he was running towards Sergeant Brosnahan and Officer Liu Sung, in the red circle is the knife that he was in possession of.
You have body-worn camera from Officer Parham?
Yes.
Now.
I need a lethal shotgun and the ground is going up and down.
Put the car in park, put the car in park.
Grab the shotgun, grab the shotgun.
You have a lethal shotgun.
Your
lives,
cover. Come on,
let's go.
Get up there.
addition to that, you pulled some third-party surveillance video.
It did. So from the shopping mall or the strip stores that were right there, as well as the retail business that the decedent was in. This is going to be from the retail business where he had retrieved the knife. He's going to be walking around the store.
Top of this is labeled incorrect. This is actually still from the surveillance video. Is that correct?
That is correct. And as you can see in the red circle is the 13.5-inch knife.
You have more video?
Yes. We pulled video from a store that was within the same parking lot that Sergeant Brosnan had made contact with the decedent. If you focus your attention at the top right-hand corner of the screen, you'll see the decedent turn towards the officers and run at them.
So now let's move to the crime scene photographs.
For our crime scene photographs, this is what we call as a cone drop that was provided by Sergeant Brosnahan during the walkthrough. Sergeant Brosnahan explained that where the red circle is, that's where he was positioned at the time he discharged his weapon. And at the time he discharged it, the first round, he was approximately 13 feet and 4 inches away from the decedent. This is one of the low lethality shotgun cartridges that houses a drag stabilizing beanbag. And this is Officer Parham's low lethality shotgun that she had deployed with the remaining shotgun rounds in there. This is Officer Lu Sung's taser that was left on scene after the incident and one of the taser probes that was recovered from the decedent. This is the decedent's knife that was located on scene after the officer involved shooting. And then this is a trauma bag that all the patrol officers carry inside their vehicles that was immediately used and they rendered aid to the decedent prior to medical arriving.
Now you indicated that Sergeant Brosnahan actually provided a statement to Fed officers.
Yes, he did.
And in, like every citizen, they have somebody who has potentially has criminal liability has a right not to give a statement.
That is correct.
But he chose to anyways.
Yes, Sergeant Brosnahan provided a statement.
Go ahead.
Sergeant Brosnahan stated he was close to the area when a robbery call was broadcasted at a store. While responding to the call, details of the event stated there were multiple persons reporting. Upon arrival, patrons were pointing in the direction of the decedent who was last observed towards East Flamingo Road. Sergeant Brosnahan observed the decedent walking westbound in front of multiple storefronts with the knife in his right hand. The decedent was holding the knife with the blade extending from the bottom of his hand. And then Sergeant Brosnahan observed the businesses were open and the vehicle traffic on East Flamingo Road was heavy. Due to the open businesses and the vehicle traffic, Sergeant Brosnahan exited his patrol vehicle and began issuing verbal commands. Sergeant Brosnahan requested additional resources to include the low lethality shotgun. And as Sergeant Brosnahan issued verbal commands, the decedent continued to walk away and refused to comply. Sergeant Brosnahan requested units to utilize the low lethality shotgun, and the decedent walked into the middle of East Flamingo Road. And Sergeant Brosnahan paralleled once he noticed marked patrol vehicles had stopped the westbound vehicle traffic. While in the middle of the street, Sergeant Brosnahan stated the decedent turned and charged at him while still holding the knife. Sergeant Brosnahan stated he shot his firearm at the decedent in fear of being stabbed or severely injured. Sergeant Brosnahan explained he believed he was approximately 20 to 30 feet from the decedent when he began to fire. And after the decedent fell to the ground, Sergeant Brosnahan believed he was approximately 2 to 3 feet from the decedent.
Thank you, sir. That completes my questions for the witness.
Mr. Arnold, do you have any questions?
Yes, thank you. Sir, in regards to Sergeant Brosnahan, was he ever involved in prior police shootings?
That has no relevance on the application of use of force.
Sustained.
Additionally, prior to, did Sergeant Bronson have any SWAT training?
I don't see the relevance of any of that.
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
In regards to the AA witness, the civilian witness, the AA, you know who I'm referring to?
Are you saying AA? Sorry, I'm a little hard.
AA, yes.
That's the victim.
Okay, the victim. She was also a witness, correct?
Yes.
In regards to the robbery situation, she said she was threatened with a knife. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it was a 3-inch knife, according to her testimony. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Was that 3-inch knife ever found?
No, it was not.
In the store, you showed a still with him having the long knife, the 13-inch knife that he got from Target. What was in his other hand?
We cannot tell.
Additionally, in the store, we can see that he walked past several patrons in the store, and he didn't make any attack or anything on them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And additionally, you said that one of the witnesses heard him say, call 911. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Were there any other statements that Mr. Castillo made while he was in the store?
Not that I'm aware of.
And the knife, the 13-inch knife that he got, again, that was something that was retrieved from the store. It was an actual product of the store. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Going back to Sergeant Brosnan, he actually gave an order for all responding officers to use low lethal weapons. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The other officers that responded to the scene, they all had deployed low lethal weapons. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Sergeant Brosnan, though, still was in possession of his firearm. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And he was in possession of his firearm after he gave the order for low lethal weapons to be used.
Correct.
Is there any reasoning that Sergeant Bronson gave for him to be the only one still carrying his firearm as opposed to switching out to low lethal weapon?
Him being the sergeant, he had the other officers deploy low lethality options. There were other officers on scene that were also lethal coverage.
Additionally, during Sergeant Bronson's statement, and we can hear it on the body cam, he gave the order for the low lethal shotgun to be used. Do you recall that?
Yes.
How come the shotgun was not, and this is when he was still in the parking lot before he crossed the street. How come the shotgun was not shot off at that point?
In the video, you saw the first two officers arriving. It was a field training officer, Nichols and Liu Sung that arrived. Liu Sung chose to use his taser. The taser has a limitation as far as how far the probes can go. If you, in the video, Sergeant Brosnahan also addressed crossfire. There were officers that were in crossfire. In the event that that beanbag would miss, it would hit another officer.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why it was not used was the potential for crossfire and it hitting another officer. You have to answer for the record. I saw you shake your head,
correct.
But...
correct.
Okay. Also, in the autopsy report, you said narcotics were found, correct?
That is correct.
How many shots were discovered on Mr. Castillo's body?
There were approximately 5 gunshot wounds. Or sorry, 4.
And were there also 2 gunshot wounds to his back?
No, there's one.
One gunshot wound to his back?
Correct.
And one on his left shoulder, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we could see in the video that he charged the officers, specifically Sergeant Bronson.
Sergeant Bronson and Officer Liu Sung.
And again, you showed a cone and the first round was fired at 13-4, is that correct?
That was Sergeant Brosnahan's perception.
And then after that, Sergeant Bronson said, and we can see in the video, he was only 2 or 3 feet away from the sergeant and the other officers.
That is correct.
And he kind of rolled over to, initially he was face on to Sergeant Bronson, but after the shots, he kind of rolled over to his right. Is that correct? Wasn't Sergeant Bronson the first to start to perform life-saving measures on Mr. Castillo?
Yes, Sergeant Brosnahan assisted in life-saving.
What specifically did Sergeant Bronson do?
I believe he asked for the units to grab a medkit. They started scanning for injuries. Officers applied a chest seal to the decedent's chest to prevent further bleeding.
Additionally, were there reports from the civilian witnesses that Mr. Castillo was walking around the parking lot demanding other individuals other than AA for their keys for their vehicles?
No.
Were there any indications by the officers that Mr. Castillo was obeying any of their commands to drop the knife and stop moving?
He did not obey any of the orders that were given to him.
Out in the Target parking lot, did Mr. Castillo shout out something in regards to that he wanted to protect his family?
I don't think that was in the Target parking lot. I believe that was in reference to a statement that Sergeant Brosnahan heard.
And where did Sergeant Brosnahan hear that statement?
When he first made contact with him, he heard the decedent make a statement, something along the lines of, they just killed my family.
And where did he make that statement? I didn't hear it.
Sergeant Brosnahan made contact with him in the strip mall parking lot that ran along East Flamingo.
So outside of the Target?
Yes.
Down that strip mall section?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's the extent of my questions. I want to see if the family or the public has any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any questions from the family or the public in general? Family ready with their questions, or do you need more time? If you want the question asked, I need you to give that to the officer so he can hand it to me so I can read it, see if it's appropriate. I think we're going to take a 2-minute break while we review the questions. We'll be back on in a second. Thank you. Back on the record. Okay, we have three questions from the family in the audience. I'm going to ask all three, but I'm going to paraphrase them down to parts could be asked, parts were irrelevant. So the parts that could be asked, I'll just ask you those in general. And if you can't answer, just let me know. You had mentioned in your testimony that there was evidence or the officers tried life-saving techniques.
Yes.
Can you describe what those were?
Yes, as previously stated, that med pack was utilized, and in that med pack is gauze and a chest seal. Chest seal is intended to cover an injury that has profuse bleeding on the chest, and that was also utilized on him.
Was CPR used at all, or do you know?
I believe so, yes. Okay.
Thank you, officer. The second question we have is regarding de-escalation tactics. I think you mentioned a little bit about that. Can you describe what de-escalation tactics were used?
Yes.
You know, officers have training and experience in de-escalation in Metro, yes?
Correct. When Sergeant Brosnahan first made contact with him, he projected his voice over a distance. That is a form of de-escalation. Ordering him to drop the knife is a form of de-escalation. The entire incident from the time Sergeant Brosnahan made contact with the decedent to the time that it was shots fired was a minute and 42 seconds. So there wasn't a whole lot of time for additional forms of de-escalation. But the low lethality shotgun was deployed twice, as well as a taser.
And I have a follow-up to that. The shots were fired only after he started running towards the officers.
Correct.
And then the third question also involves de-escalation tactics. Are you trained, or could he have been shot in the leg or somewhere else that was not center mass for de-escalation purposes?
No. So we train to shoot center mass, and that's to stop a threat. If you're going to try to aim for a limb, it's not practical. So we shoot center mass until the threat is no longer a threat. So the decedent was shot in center mass, and the threat was no longer a threat.
Is there any follow-up questions based on the questions that have been asked so far?
Not from us.
Not from the ombudsman.
Or the questions from the public I see, so conclude here. This public fact-finding review was held because the Clark County District Attorney's Office made a preliminary determination that no criminal prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Ismael Castillo is appropriate. Clark County Ordinance Chapter 2.12 requires public review following such a determination. The purpose of today's hearing was to present the public with the essential facts surrounding the death of Ismael Castillo. Carl Arnold was appointed by the Clark County manager as the ombudsman to represent the public and the Castillo family. Mr. Arnold was given an opportunity to ask questions and provide the public with relevant information regarding the use of force in this case. I was appointed by the Clark County manager as presiding officer to preside over the public review. I too was given the opportunity to ask questions to provide the public with relevant information regarding the use of force in this case. Prior to today's public review, the Clark County District Attorney's Office provided Mr. Arnold and myself copies of the law enforcement investigation regarding the death of Ismael Castillo. The documents were provided by the prosecution and are considered public record. If you missed any portion of this review or would like to obtain a recorded transcript, a video of the entire proceeding is available on the Clark County website at www.clarkcountynv.gov. This concludes the police fatality public fact-finding review into the death of Ismael Castillo. Thank you.